Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
You won it this year.
Yeah, we got to kick out a guy who got a little salty when we did. It was an unexpected loss for our friend Dave Damaschek, who got bounced. But he'll be back next year.
Oh, there it is, Sheck. You're world famous. Monday Night Football. Welcome to Extra Points Podcast, a Tuesday morning. Cousin Sal coming to you. Spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs, babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me as always, my dear pals, Martin Weiss and Dave Damaschek, who will be back next year, according to John Hamm, who appeared on the Manning Cast and told us all about our kickout league. Wow.
I don't know who John Hamm thinks he is to tell me what I'm going to do and where I'm going to be a year from now. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'll just undermine the whole league and I'll take away the services of Dave Damaschek. How dare he? How dare he? What a creep to take his business, to take our hash and spread it all over the Manning Cast. Gross. Well, stuff. That was shame.
At that point, it was an ugly game. It was 24-9, and even John Hamm couldn't pretty it up with that tail that we love. Were you watching that, Martin? I feel like, Martin, they should have been making a bigger deal out of you. You're 41-17-1, over 700 winning percentage picking games, but Damaschek had the spotlight.
You know what, Sal? That's all I got to say. In the words, John Hamm said it. That's what the money is for. Thank God I can put money on these games and benefit, because the credit I get from this podcast, you know, anyway. No,
oh, how dare you?
I was terrified for Dave. I was terrified for Dave. I was really, truly scared because John Hamm was on there. And, you know, the Manning, our bosses, they do a great job with the interviews. Jalen Hurts was pulling teeth earlier in the show, so they got off to a rough start. But, you know, it sped up. But they went to commercial break so many times. As Peyton Manning was setting the story up, and John, I was worried, Dave, that John wasn't going to actually say your name and just going to be like, my buddy got kicked out. And I was like, I don't know what's worse, having the entire world know that I got kicked out of my fantasy football league, because, you know, everybody's going to watch the Manning Cast, or having my super famous celebrity friend who's on Monday Night Football not acknowledge the fact that I was the person that got kicked out.
So I know. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking that too. Sheck, yes, they did tease it. We're going to go to commercial. No, I want to hear about this kickout thing. And it was funny. And he came back and he talked first about the time he was kicked out, which was funny. And then eventually
it wasn't funny because I'm interrupting right here and now. The jive about Salty Dave or whatever, comparing me to the Planters Peanut Man in my top hat. No, I'm a regular guy. A man of peace who didn't deserve the ugly stuff that was delivered at his doorstep. And the hypocrisy, the shame of Hamm making, like, I got kicked out. I opened my laptop and then they said, no, you're out, Hamm. And I closed it up and I went home. He was the one who was salty. All who bore witness to his behavior that night know the same truth I do. He was the one who was disgusted and sick in his balls. Correct, Sal?
Well, correct, and I'll also agree with you that you're a man of peace. You also might be a man of pieces, as in the trophy you won is in pieces in the back in a junkyard somewhere in your trunk, which is why he kicked you out. That's why he says he kicked you out, because you lost the trophy. But anyway, maybe they get back into that. Maybe he comes back on the Manning Cast. I love that he's told this story now on Howard Stern and a couple weeks ago, and then comes on the Manning Cast, and then Jimmy went on Howard Stern and talked about the Tom Cruise day, and Hamm talked about the Tom Cruise day too. It's like crazy. I felt like they were reading from my book a little bit. Like, these are all stories. These are great stories.
The thing everybody has in common outside of regular guy Dave is that everybody loves to drop names, don't they? Yeah. Ooh, Hollywood phonies. Ooh, Tom Cruise this, Jimmy Kimmel that. Grow up.
Well, he dropped your name
yesterday. Stand on your own two feet.
I'm going to drop a couple names. The Pick'em Contest winner, extrapoints.com/arcade. Randy Russell, 13 right. Wow, good job by you. $100 in your pocket. Prop Quiz is won by Mike Wheel. He gets a gold cap for going 8-10. Now, as far as the staff goes, big winners. Sal, Martin, Eddie, 10-4-1. Good job, Eddie. You're rebounding here from that abysmal week one. There's some controversy. Martin changed his Monday night pick Thursday, and so the graphic didn't. I don't know. What's going on here, Martin? Why are you changing picks? Just leave it. What are you doing?
No, because here's I normally Meatball's going to attest to this because it's been now 4 weeks of the NFL season. It's been 4 weeks that I've texted him on Saturday and been like, please switch me from this to that. And this week,
That's great. What is that? You're a pain in the ass. Is that what you, we need him to attest to that? Why are you switching?
I was scolded in a company wide email for trying to change picks.
You know what?
Or adjusting the lines when a
just leave it.
Down.
It's we don't need 45 asterisks by the end of the year. Whatever
that's
it is,
why
it'll even out. Just put it in.
You know what? Y'all can have it. I just wanted Meatballs and everybody else to know that at 11:20. P.M. I texted 10:20 P.M. I texted him I would switch it from the Rams to the 49ers if it wasn't out. And on my radio show, Fox Sports Radio, 7 to 10 Eastern.
All right.
I gave out the 49ers twice throughout there. So it's on record that I did it. And
yeah, everyone can change their mind. We get it. Just leave it. And anyone, does he need to get 30 emails saying, hey, I'm feeling this now?
Picking some more winners. And that's fine. Y'all said y'all can have it. I just wanted the record.
I'm doing great.
Was the one who wanted to update everything. I just wanted it to be stated and known that I would have picked the 49ers and it would have made it onto the graphic if they didn't have to play games in London. 6:30 a.m. in California is entirely too early for football.
All right. Stated and known, your pick is your pick. And when the graphic goes up, Mikey Meatballs doesn't need 75 emails saying, well, I'm feeling this way, but check in with me Sunday. I might change my mind on the Monday game, depending on how the rest of the NFC. I know that wasn't the case with you, but just leave it alone. Just leave it. I know you've never run a pool before, Martin. I get it. This is just, you could just send as many emails as you want.
I'm sorry that I'm lapping you guys twice over.
You are doing well.
My bad. You are doing well. My fault. I'm sorry that I'm so good at picking these games. My bad.
You're going to be sorry that you're bragging so much this time in 6 weeks. But 41-17 and one, over 70% is excellent. The big loser, Will Blackman, your partner, the only one not to hit 500, 6-9-1. We got to shake him up a little bit, Martin. I know he's also just learning to gamble one thing.
Yeah. Only one to play professional football.
I know. What is that saying? I'm glad I stayed away. Hench, Harry, and Megan Galley, 9-5-1. Sheck, you, the Parlay Kid, and Brother Bry, 8-6-1. And Megan Conley and Jen, 7-7-1. So there you go. We all did pretty well So let's recap this game. Aside from all the Manning cast off, and the Niners won 24-9. I was on the square side. I'll admit it. I like the Rams. I was basing it on last week and 49ers pitiful performance, but they were in a spot where they needed to win. Sheck, McVay can't beat this team. 3-8 against Shanahan, and Jimmy G 7-0 versus the Rams in the regular season. What gives?
It is one of those things that I mention a little. I'm a little too cavalier in mentioning it because my work ethic prevents me from actually looking it up and getting the hard and fast numbers. But it does feel like the larger thing, and we saw it with the Titans and the Colts as well on Sunday, which is these mini errors when one team has the other team's number that seems to carry over for a few years. I mean, not 100%, but it seems like more often than not that's just the way it goes. And I guess we have to abide by those laws, and we shouldn't defy them too hard, right?
7-0. Yeah. 7-0 is an insane number for Jimmy G when he's arguably the inferior quarterback in seven of those matchups. I don't know, four or five, somewhere in there. But I think here's my takeaway. That Rams offense is no good aside from Cooper Kupp. It really isn't. It's clear Allen Robinson won't adapt. You have high hopes for Cam Akers. The other takeaway is the 49ers defense may be the best in the league. They just fly so much faster to the ball. They swarm, and they just look quicker than everyone else, Martin. But good job by you. I think you don't want to change that pick again, right? You're sticking with the Niners?
No, so first of all, I just went back in the rundown. We never discussed this game on Thursday. So that was – it's not like I super changed my pick. I just clicked on the Rams. It wasn't like there's a record of me telling me
He didn't super change it. He just changed it.
I went up there and said, you know what the Rams are going to do Monday night? They're going to move the ball down the field. Cooper Kupp's going to have 35 receptions and 6 touchdowns. And then I picked the 49ers after the fact.
Right.
It's when asked, I picked the 49ers. It's just – anyway, but – my takeaway from this game.
You were asked on the thing. Okay, go.
See if
go.
Caesars will undo it after you clicked one team after you.
You know, I don't have to talk to Caesars because I bet on the 49ers and I got my slip. So I have my money, Dave. That's what I said. I don't need your validation. I don't need it from
There's
you guys.
There's a lot of salt. A lot of salt in this episode. A lot of salt in this episode of Extra Points. Go ahead. Talk about
Rams, the Rams aren't able to block. And they're not going to be – if they can't block with this, they have to get out of 11 personnel. They're not going to be able to be the same team that they were before, running multiple wide receivers out there. And the idea that you have Ben Skowronek as a fullback is cute and all until he actually has to go and run into somebody. Like, that's not working offensively. I think those are the biggest problems with is their offense and their lack of ability to be, like, kind of push up front. Like, very – kind of like the way we saw Tampa and on Sunday night. They were just throwing the ball. And if you're not making teams think you're going to be able to run or run effectively, it's not going to work out. And the 49ers, watching that game, and the reason why I leaned to the Rams initially was because watching Jimmy G run out the back of the end zone and throw pick sixes. And damn, if he didn't try again on that Deebo Samuel pass, your boy Peyton and Eli were like, oh, look, he threw it high on purpose. Like, absolutely not. Yeah. He got lucky.
By the way, they're your boys, too. They're your boys as much as mine. But, yeah.
That is
he did get lucky. It was interesting. The pick six obviously helped the 49ers. It was a game. Yeah, the Rams were in it. But, check. I don't know. I don't want to pick a winner. I think you guys took the Niners to win the division when we went over divisions. I took the Rams. Right now, they're both plus 120 after a month, I guess we'd say. I know you said this is the quarter point, close to the quarter point as we can get. I'm not sure. I think they go back and forth all year, and I don't see the other two teams.
You know what? I will defer to 18 from the Manning cast on Monday night. I do think we got to slow our roll. We're all getting drunk on what we've seen at this point. And which 2-2 team are you most concerned about? Are you concerned about these Rams, the defending champs, when Peyton rightly points out that, you know, Cooper Rush is Cooper Kupp is out there. Cooper Rush is out there as well. But Cooper Kupp is out there. But, you know, the offense hasn't fully hit its stride yet. Do you think this team's not going to be relevant come January? I mean, and I'm asking the question. I don't know. I feel like I do prefer the Niners because of the defense, as you say. But then, you know, you have the Ravens at 2-2 as well. Are we worried about their standing and whether or not they're going to make the playoffs? I don't know how much to get worked up about these teams that I was high on in August and them being 500, you know, a month into the thing.
I'm
going to right the ship.
I'm with you with all of it, and I think I was a little petulant. I tweeted, is anyone good in this league? I don't know. It was about 1:30 on Sunday, and I'm like, oh, what am I getting crazy for? The Bills are very good. The Chiefs are very good. If you look at the division, the odds, I just gave you the NFC West odds. It was going to be Rams 49ers anyway, right? NFC South, the Bucks are still favored. NFC North, it's the Vikings and Packers as a coin flip. The East is a little weird that the Eagles are minus 330. I know you picked them to win the division. They're on fire. We'll talk about them more in a second. Not too many divisions, the point is, are looking different in terms of who's leading versus a month ago, right? Bills for sure. Ravens, even though 2-2, they're slightly ahead at the top that division. All right, the AFC South is weird. The Jaguars are favored. I know everybody jumped on them last week to win the division. I just assume stay away and not have to watch those games too intently. But yeah, I think the idea is we are getting a little crazy with who stinks and who doesn't.
But I do think you can still delineate some things from what's going on here. Like, all right, the Dallas Cowboys defensive line, it's legit. Like, the San Francisco
49ers. Oh, he said it!
He said it! Them now!
Wow,
he's earned
enough.
They've earned Marty's trust. I love it.
Yeah, so
are you going to start betting them now, Martin? I hope so.
It was the Commanders. It was the Commanders. And Carson Wentz is just, I don't even want to get into it. But you can.
I don't know if it was the Commanders. Those uniforms suggest it might have been another team. But go ahead, Martin. Who do they think they are?
Arizona State is who they think they are, apparently. But they look like the Dallas defensive line, legit. The San Francisco defense, legit. Kansas City's offense without Tyreek Hill, they're still putting up points. That's not an issue. Also on the flip side, Ravens secondary, a problem in their two losses and the way they've blown big leads. Like, sure. I think you can, while you can't necessarily say the Ravens are going to miss the playoffs, I know this. If I pick the Ravens and the 49ers to go to the Super Bowl, that Ravens secondary, I figured, would have shored up a little bit by this point. They're giving up passing yards to everybody, right? So I think you can still delineate that from the first four games.
Sure, yeah, we could take some stuff, but Josh Allen, yeah, it's not just anybody they're giving yards up to. But I know that was for such a premier game. Nobody was interested really until the fourth quarter. Shaq, I know this bothers me about two or three times a year. It bothers you 1,000 times a year. The uniforms, this one, this Commanders one, I was like, this is for many, many reasons. This is awful. First of all, not only does it not look like the Commanders, I would say, just looking at it blindly, not knowing the schedule, I would have thought that was three teams trying to be cute with their uniform before it was the Commanders. I would have thought it was your Steelers. I might have thought maybe the Saints were trying to do something fun there. I didn't like it at all. Secondly, don't screw with the rivalries. Leave those matchups pristine. Right. You got Seattle, Detroit. You want to have some fun with that? Go ahead. And I get it. It's all money. But really, who's buying these jerseys? It's either the collectors or it's the rich guy's son who has to have every jersey that he roots for, right? But nobody likes it, right? Does anybody like that uniform?
Well, as I've pointed out, ask any pro football player, hey, how would you change your team's uniforms? They 99.9% of the time say like, oh, I'd like to go head to toe black. That would be clean looking. Like, what? You can't everybody do that and look good. Right. It looks bad, especially with the burgundy trim. It's an atrocity. It looks like a lot of people opined, as you just did, that boy, that looks like the Steelers all uniform, except it's got that hideous maroon involved. It's just garbage. And you know how you really know a uniform is terrible is when it goes in to play the Cowboys. There's something about the light in that joint, and it goes back to Texas Stadium before Cowboy Stadium. There's something about the light that comes into that joint that highlights or lowlights the uniforms. And like, you're exactly right too. The rivalry, you're going to break out that all black against the Dallas Cowboys. I know you're not the Washington, whatever. You're the Commies after all. But
yeah,
yes, it was an attack on our eyes, as are the team that wears them. And you know, if I could just say about the good teams, and the Commies count as one of the very worst in football at this point, but I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but parity sucks. I've said this for 25 years, and I've always pointed out that Star Wars would suck if you took Darth Vader out of it. You need an evil presence, just like the New York Yankees provide for baseball and have forever. They're a hateable team, and that's
for
nice.
Sure.
The New England Patriots gave us that same thing in football for 20 years. Now without them, it lays bare the fact that everybody's kind of the same. Like, I mean, just as you could say, are the Bills by far and away, or the Eagles, and then really who sucks real bad? Like,
well,
they're all kind of close, and it's a little unsatisfying.
I want to ask that exact question to you, but I will say there still is a bad guy. It's still the Patriots. It's just Darth Vader is on his deathbed, and we just walk around and smack him in the face when there's nothing he can do. So it's prequel
Darth Vader, right? Pathetic.
That's right.
Anakin limping around. No, Darth Vader, not scary Vader, right?
So you talk about parity. I think 3 years ago there were seven undefeated teams entering week five. 2 years ago there were five, now it's one, or however I move those years around, but now it's only the Eagles. We'll get to them in a second, but who is the worst team, Martin, in the NFL? That's what, and I have to say, Shaq, if we have to say, and the worst team in 2022 is not like the worst team in 2019. The worst team in 2022 is going to put up more than 10 points a game. The worst team is not going to win three games this year. I think they're going to win more. I don't think we're going to see a 2-15 or a 3-14. That said, Shaq, it's the Panthers in my estimation, it's Washington, and it's your team. I would say those are the three. Do you want to take a breath? Oh. You want to wipe your brow while Martin responds first? Let Martin respond. Who is the worst team?
That's fascinating, because I have the worst team as the Chicago Bears, even though they've won two games.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it's between them and the Commanders, because I don't see any path to offensive success at all right now for either one of those two teams, but especially the Bears. I mean, Justin Fields has as many pass completions as Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson had in the first half of that game.
It's really nuts.
In the entire season.
He had 11, which was a huge increase, right? He had like coming off sevens and eights, and he had 11s. Like, oh my God. roll out the red carpet for Justin Fields. I don't even necessarily think it's his fault. I had the Bears to have the worst record overall, so I want to stick with that. It sucks that for me that they're 2-2. But I'll say this. They're a team that they're going to be frisky. You got a bunch of frisky teams. You want it to be Seattle. Geno Smith is passing 70%. He's hitting 70%. Check. Talk us out of picking the Steelers straight up for worst team.
Well, you're more than welcome to do that. But yes, the Bears, I mean, they're trying to lose games. The Texans are kind of now in a weird spot. They, I don't know that they really believed it, but I think over the course of the past 12 months or whatever, they talked themselves into, we can get by with Davis Mills. Let's see what the kid has before we jump the gun and do something different there. They are now going to move on from Davis Mills. That's my guess. But yeah, I think, but these are teams that are kind of actively hoping they don't win too many games this year. The Steelers are not doing that. I mean, I'm not going to put them down there on their record says they are, but yeah, the Commies are in worse shape than the Steelers are going forward.
Yeah, I don't know. I Bears don't and know. Commies. What do, really, what do you give? I think it's close. I don't know. What's the spread in the neutral field, Washington and Pittsburgh?
It's correct. Well, I think where it gets real dark is for Pittsburgh now, because as I kept saying, they got to figure out a way to get the 500, if mm-hmm. not 3-1, 4 games in, because the next 4 are all right. imminently losable games. Now they're catching 14 up in Buffalo. 14 never happened in the Super Bowl era, at least, I don't think, or at least since 1970 might be the number that for I them. Saw there.
For them? So, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Never happened. What's never happened? Dog. For them, yeah. For the Steelers, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, what do you get? What kind of grade do you give Pickett? I mean, do they just cut him loose now? What are you going to bring Trubisky back?
No, I mean, this is it. No, it's Pickett. You saw it. I think they timed it. Yeah. I think they timed
so halftime of not so not last week when he could have got a whole week worth of reps and maybe you win that game versus the Jets. Halftime is the right time to bring in Pickett. Was that that was, know,
as that was, as I we've mean, discussed I, as we've discussed, Tomlin is not is looking to not be seen as flailing about and searching for answers histrionically. He made a commitment. The premise was, we're going to roll with Trubisky until we absolutely positively can't. As I predicted, in fact, there should be a parade for me, Marty, for predicting exactly when it was going to happen. Did I tell you halftime?
How about you predict the winner of the game? Because I was like, you said no one in the world is picking the Jets. I picked the Jets.
You did have the Jets. That's where we made that some ground.
That's on tape. Go back to Thursday. I can't believe nobody's picking the New York Jets except for me.
Wait, you changed that pick, though. You sent Mikey Meatballs an email on Sunday morning. You said you wanted to change that, right?
It's unclear what Marty did. I don't know if it's credible, but Nick Costos did, and kudos to him. And yeah, no, listen, I think it's I think you saw the enthusiasm there. I told you, if Trubisky in that spot against the Jets didn't put up a decent point total, didn't get the double digits,
that's fine.
30 minutes in, they would pull the trigger. So they did. You saw the difference in energy. It is fascinating that the exact same situation, the same pieces around you, the same play caller and all that, that they make different decisions. You know, people kept saying like, Trubisky is Pickett and Pickett is Trubisky. Like, nope. One guy anticipates and slings it, and the other guy was more cautious, and the results spoke for themselves. I do wonder, I mean, like, this is a real bad spot, though. Two touchdown dog up in Buffalo. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I don't know what to anticipate other than a whipping.
What do you give? What do you give Pickett? What kind of grade? C plus for week 4?
No, I think for the spot he was dropped into. And by the way, I like that spot.
Oh no, what is it?
I like that spot emotionally. I would rather rather be thrown into it than be like, hey, sweat it for the next 10 days because you're the guy who has to save the season, versus like, hey, we ain't going great here, Ken. Get in there, see what you can do kind of vibe. And that's what we got from him. The defense was the failure. It wasn't him.
Well, that is true. Yes. So you're playing on a defense. I do feel bad for Tomlin a little bit. So So what was it? The Thursday night game against the Browns, and then right after in the post game presser, he says, "Trubisky's our guy." Right. So now he's stuck. when you make these guys answer, you're just kind of stuck with that. And now it's like, oh, he's a liar. Like, all right, I think you're right. It was the defense that blew that game. We would have been singing a different song about
it. I mean, up 10 points against the New York Jets in Pittsburgh, that's a pretty grim loss.
Well, what's your grade? Give a grade then. Let's see.
For how Pickett played? In the
Jesus, yes.
Give him a B plus, A minus. I think he was
A minus.
Did you watch him?
Grade him by fruit then, if you're having trouble. A minus. Babyface, jump in here. You gave him a C, didn't you?
A C? Well, what were you looking at to say a C?
I don't know.
He threw nothing but completions in the I don't think he hanged the picks. Maybe the second.
He threw interceptions. So completions for the other team. But
the three other passes that happened to be interceptions.
Shaq, you can't get an A anything for three interceptions. I'm sorry. I mean,
unlike Tomlin says, you know, you can't grade a rookie on the curve. I can. I'm grading him on a curve. He was dropped into a spot there. I thought he.
So what's a B minus? Five interceptions in 30 minutes? How many would he have to throw? I know he ran for touchdowns and stuff like that.
Well, listen, if Patrick Mahomes did that, then I would say, yeah, C minus performance. I'm talking about a rookie who was thrown in halfway through. I'm looking at him that way. What I liked was, I don't know how much Football America at large is consumed by it, but on the banks of the Three Rivers, which I remain plugged into spiritually, if nothing else, the obsession, it is fascinating and funny, the obsession of every throw that is being dissected by Pickett over the last 72 hours here. Yeah. I mean, I thought...
Well, you're not dissecting any of the throws, apparently. I mean,
his best throws were with the guy... bearing down hard directly in his face, delivering it to Freiermuth and taking the shot was perhaps his best throw. I thought the back shoulder throw to Pickens, not waiting. That's what I'm talking about philosophically. He's not waiting to see his receivers get clear before he throws the ball. He's trusting them and he's putting it up. Chase Claypool, I think it's fair to say, let him down on a deep ball. If you're one-on-one with a safety and you're 6'5" or whatever Claypool is, the three results of a deep shot one-on-one, the high-end guys at those 50-50 balls like Dez Bryant or Calvin Johnson is, it never gets intercepted because he prevents that from happening. That was a failure. The choice to throw the ball up every single pass.
I know.
Well, you just gave your grade.
Yes, I finally got the grade at it. Martin, how much would you have liked having Sheck as a professor, like a graduate school professor? Give an A- for three interceptions in 30 minutes.
Well, it depends.
You
know,
six interceptions for a game.
I don't know if I would have been able to last through the hour and a half lecture. It would have felt like it was five and a half hours. Even getting a B-, I would have rather transferred out.
Marty might give me a B-, but then he might change it to a D+, and then change it to an A, but then get in touch after the fact and then campaign to
Dave, how about this? You just try to pick a winner the first time. Just try to do that. That's hard enough for you. All right, just try to pick a winner the first time. And my only thing I got to say about Pickett, I got nervous at halftime that the Steelers were going to win because they subbed in Pickett at half. That was the only time I was ever concerned that the Steelers were going to win a game without T.J. Watt.
So it's clear, it's clear that I'm with Dave. He should absolutely pick Kenny Pickett up for his fantasy team. Oh, wait, hold on.
Come on.
He's
Shaq.
On my fantasy teams. I have him on my fantasy teams.
He's in another league that John Hamm isn't in. All right, listen, let's take a break.
Babyface Joe, the only Pittsburgher who hates Pittsburgh. Go Yanks.
He can't be the only one. All right, listen, whether you're betting the Steelers or betting against them, you got to do it all on Caesars right there at Caesars Sportsbook. All right, let's take a quick break and more football action. Oh, so much to talk about. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, guys. Now, it is, for some of us, it's the high holidays. Is this called the high holidays, Sheck? Yom Kippur? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. And are there low holidays? Window. Which are the low holidays? Are they not rated as such?
All right, well, but anyway, so you're a half and half. You're right. A Jew and a Christian, but that's a funny the inversion of holidays. See, the Jews are about celebrate life most of the year, uh-huh. and the Catholics are like repent, repent, repent. And then the Catholics have a few holidays, and they're like, let's celebrate. But the Jews, when you hear holiday, it's like feel bad and look back at the past year and regret the bad decisions you made.
And so, this is the big one, Yom Kippur. This is where you sit and you atone and you fast, right? Which is the worst part of all, right? I mean, that's what I would atone for. Like, I really regret fasting all day. But all right, so in honor of Yom Kippur, which preseason NFL pick or prediction do you already want to atone for? Martin, you can go first.
I had my Yom Kippur was just the idea that I got out of public school. I went to Catholic school my whole life. Then all of a sudden I get out of the middle of October. I was pretty excited for that. I had the Saints to win the South. I know I just stepped on you, but my number one, that's the worst. All right. And I doubled down on it after week one. And Buccaneers are going to win it by default. But the one that was the absolute worst of mine, and I gave it up the same day I gave Lamar Jackson at 20-1 for MVP. So it might have been hidden in the wash. But I said Matt Ryan was a dark horse MVP candidate. I would just like to say right now, that was very wrong.
I don't know if he's the problem, though. I'm with you. He's actually shown me something in a couple of drives that I didn't think he had anything left, but that's fine. Yeah, he's not.
You know, it was the math. I think the Colts will compete for the South. They should be able, if they win the South should be a easy. They should have like double digit wins, quarterback, you know, I don't know how to die, but I mean, Lord have mercy. Every time they flip the red zone, it's terrifying.
I think Sheck was one of the early ones on the Jaguars, right? I think you had them top two or something. What you did say, Sheck, though, is that
that wasn't me. I loved the roster.
In second place or something?
Yeah. I did move him to second place, but credit where it's due to our guy Will Brinson over there at CBS. He came on -3 and outright
predicted that breakout video.
The Jags were going to win the division. So, you know, he's the first person I heard say that. But – yeah, I thought the Jags were going to be good. I just didn't think the win total was going to be there. It is that division, though, where I'm the most wrong. I thought the Colts had a shot, not because they're the best roster in the AFC, but because of the division that they're in, that they would have the best record. I'm going to stick with them, though, to win the division. It's all like, you know, you can tie yourself into knots, but nobody's, you know, with few exceptions, nobody's three games out of anything. And they're, you know, 13 games left. But yes, the Colts are my worst pick as the number one seed. And like Jerry Orbach says at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And also, Sal,
you were right about it last year when you said the Titans for number one seed because they're just going to wash through the competition. But the thing with the AFC South this year is they play the AFC West, and those bottom dwellers, the Jags and Texans, are better. They're a year older. You know, the quarterbacks are a year better, so you can't expect sweeps.
And I thought the Titans would just go away and, the last couple of games, there's some optimism around Derrick Henry specifically. But I do have to give you kudos, Sal, at the high holidays and the starving, the fasting for a day. I said, you're half Jewish. How does that work for you, Sal? And you said, oh, I fast, but only half the day and not straight through. So I always
I used to be so funny. Yeah, I fast during the sleeping hours. That's probably it. I'm going to stick to the South. Martin mentioned it. I'll piggyback his team, Saints, to win NFC South. I think I was getting like 4 or 5 to 1. They kind of blew it when they lost that close game to the Bucks. By the way, there's trouble in paradise here. Tom and Giselle hired divorce lawyers. So I don't know. Does this mean Marcus Mariota sneaks up and takes that division? I'm not sure of that either, but I don't think it's the same. It's Martin every week. It's just going to be the same thing, right? Jameis didn't practice Wednesday, Thursday. Michael Thomas made you think he was ready to go, and same old thing. Now he's on the injury report. They do play defense. I thought they played well when they had to against the Vikings, and obviously the double doink on in London spelled defeat for them ultimately. But that pick to win the NFC South was a bad one, and happy Yom Kippur. That's the one I atoned for. Yeah.
Quite a few questionable calls across the pond. I just say that, but ultimately
– officiating? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but ultimately –
does this figure into your – are we setting up your meathead of the week? We have Martin's meathead of the week.
We can get to it now. The meathead of the week, I try to pick three coaching decisions that are just asinine. This one, it didn't necessarily outcome the game because the 49ers were going to win regardless. But targeting Cooper Kupp some 25 times was the cherry on top to running a quarterback sneak on second and three against, and it speaks to the idea that the McVay and the Rams, they don't have any offensive line push. Either it was a quarterback sneak or he fell on the ball. But Peyton Manning said, did they just run a quarterback sneak on second and third, on second and three? That one right there, they weren't going to win that game anyway because it was in the third quarter rather. But I don't like. I've never seen a quarterback run, like a quarterback sneak rather, not a draw, but a sneak under center on second down and three. Now, that wasn't at least third and one.
Three yards to go?
Yeah, to get to third and one, like that's crazy. And only that's out of the Joe Judge playbook, you know, to run to a quarterback sneak when it's not. Then the Bears.
Maybe it's some voodoo. Maybe he's doing some voodoo on McVay whenever they met. I don't know what it is either. It's very weird watching that Rams team. It looks like a different team when they play San Francisco. Go ahead.
All I can figure is that they just know each other so well that Shanahan just knows everything that he wants to do, right? And McVay just can't do the other. It doesn't work the other way. Bears at the Giants. Right. Matt Eberflus elects to punt on fourth and two, down eight at midfield. The Giants don't have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback at this point. Daniel Jones is out there standing at wide receiver with his ankle taped up. They're running the Wildcat. They force a three and out, and understandably, they muffed the punt. But after the game, Eberflus said the goal was, with all of that, was to punt the ball, force a three and out, get a good return, and get the ball back at midfield. You were already at midfield when you punted the ball away. And they don't have a – like I don't see how you can't force a three and out at midfield or at your own 20-yard line. So that's the one. You're down eight. It's your only offensive good drive that you only good offensive drive you've had all night. And then, obviously, the number one, King of the Hill, John Harbaugh electing not to kick the field goal in a tie game.
Yeah.
And then Lamar Jackson throwing the interception. But I understand analytically, maybe you want to score a touchdown, and that'd be the best-case scenario. But – when you have a guy, when you have an automatic kicker like Justin Tucker, and the idea that you can't down the kick at in between the five and the 1 yard line off a kickoff, or get down there and hold him down to like the 10-15 yard line as opposed to getting the ball on the 20, as everybody was just saying, it's just foolishness to me. And the Bills drove down the field with impunity anyway.
Right.
So I just can't get behind.
Okay, so those are our three choices. Here's why I might cut some slack for. I'll let Check you pick. Eberflus down eight. It's funny. It's like when you have a field goal kicker and it's like 35 yards. Like, why are they going for it? It's field goal. It's like, well, we don't have a quarterback who could drive the field. So maybe that's his excuse. What was the second one? Not Harbaugh.
No, it was McVay targeting Cooper Kupp.
McVay, I think you're exactly right. It's like wrestling practice. You practice with somebody for 3 months, and they know your every move, and so you got to try something weird. So maybe that's what happened there. The thing with Harbaugh is the worst thing happened when they went for it, Martin. Like, going for it, probably bad decision. I'll give the nod to Harbaugh as the worst, and I'll agree with you that he's the meathead of the week. But you can't throw an interception in the end zone there. The upside to going forward on fourth down from the two is you're going to have to make the Bills drive the field. Now, I guess they just needed a field goal, but still 65 yards. You throw an interception, now they're at the 20. That's what screwed up. You lose like 18 yards worth of value in that decision. So, but anyway, I'll give it to Harbaugh nonetheless. Check.
I mean, I guess I'll go with McVay out of those three options, but I definitely disagree with you about the Harbaugh decision. I thought that was the right thing, and you hit it on the head there, Sal. Were it not for the pick in the end zone, that's the right thing. I always like the notion of, especially in the conditions and everything, I like the idea of, okay, we didn't score, we left them at the one. I think that's, you know, that's a lot to put on even Josh Allen's shoulders. Conversely, I think you're just trying to wish away reality when you say, we'll just take the three and we'll give them the ball with 4 minutes left in the game and expect that Josh Allen's not going to be able to work them into field goal range. I like the way the thought process was completely sound. They have timeouts ready to go. So let's say we don't score. Josh Allen's going to drive 99 yards and then score, but we're still going to have time to get the ball back and see if our superstar QB can rally the team and score and save this game still. So I get the result is about as bad as it could be, but I didn't think that the thinking was flawed.
All right.
Is Josh Allen going to drive 99 yards? He drove 80 yards. So 19 more would have got to a field goal to tie the game. You could have kicked the field goal and had him at the 20. And you guess what?
Well, you said 20 minutes ago that the defense doesn't stop anybody. So he's aware of that. As
even more of a
I will say,
try to take the lead. Like, you should take the lead. Like, you know, and, well, and you know, Sal, to your point about going to interception was the worst case scenario. He's done this three times now. Late game scenarios on the goal line. You know, it's real hard to throw an interception on a running play. You have the best running quarterback in the history of football.
Yeah.
And all three times.
But if he gets sacked,
they threw it.
If he gets sacked at the 8, it's not as bad as an interception there. Right. It's hard to believe they're 0-5. They've lost that last 5 home games, I think I saw, the Ravens. But credit to the Bills. That was a masterful drive, that last drive, including the last minute. When you yourself don't know what to do with a minute left and a rolling clock, should they – just kneel down for the field goal? Like, I don't know. I'm just going to wait for them to screw up and then scream about it on Monday or Tuesday, right? They did it right. They did it right. They really did. The Bills showed me. They bounced back.
I'll give you one more bad coaching in general series or quarter was Mike Tomlin, the defensive whiz, and Brian Flores, the defensive whiz, who's a consultant, and neither is even the DC. That's Terrell Austin. That collective – listen, Cam Hayward's banged up. Minka Fitzpatrick's banged up. Terrell Edmonds is on the sidelines with a concussion, so on and so forth. TJ Watt hasn't been out there for a month. You can't give up a double-digit lead to Zach Wilson, who was absolutely slinging it and impressive
and
being buried in the story. But you got to be able to scheme up something to get a stop when you're up double digits at home.
They picked him twice.
You can't do it.
Hadn't they picked him twice? They had shown the thing. He hasn't thrown an interception in 180 attempts and everything. They almost like back to back, right? You got 2 interceptions off him. Yeah, it's weird you couldn't.
But I mean, you know, I get what he wants to do and dominate defensively, but you got to come up with something. You got to be able to come up with a stop against the Jets. That's just all there is to it. Now, Zach Wilson is a legit talent, and he showed as much. And I think he is destined to be real good with the pass catchers he has there if they can figure out how to protect him. But it just that just can't happen. You have those that braid. Hey, Flores, Tomlin. I mean, like, can't happen.
I don't like bragging about this, but if you want to make money betting football, you either follow Martin's picks. There you see, Martin. See, buddy, I'm pumping you up here. Or before the season starts, bet the unders on all the starting running backs. Now, I bet under on 26 starting running backs. I already have 4 wins. Javonte Williams. It's sad. I know this is not a thing to brag about. Javonte Williams out for the year, torn ACL. Denver plays Thursday night. Mitchell, 49ers running back, out. Montgomery out. Patterson not out. So that's 4. Not including all the slow starts like Cook and Connor and Akers. And honestly, if I get by week 11, 9 guys out for the year, I should split the rest just based on performance that they're going to go under. Now, I'll give to the charities of the guys that got hurt or whatever to not feel like too much of an a-hole. But check, this is the way to go if you want to win money.
Maybe you've been doing this forever and I just wasn't hip to it, but you and Kevin Hench both got on this a year ago at least, and you're absolutely right. It's grim, but I condemn it morally. Yeah, just as you're the guy who gets to the dice table and bets don't pass. So there's a weird irony that you're betting against runners too. So what do you like? I don't know.
What kind of, so
you don't like you don't like the pass. You don't like the pass or the run. So I don't know what you like, but yes.
I'm rooting for defense. Don't you always root for defense? Do you have a, is it morally wrong to root on for the under in a, just a regular game, or do you have
what's going
to
be even worse? Let's keep talking about this because now that, as you say, with the guys who already are not going to get there, they're, guess what? More injuries to come.
Sure.
And by the way, Alvin Kamara, like the thing, I'm not on the Saints. I was on the Bucks in the preseason, but I got to say that Saints team, I mean, how much are we supposed to ding them? They don't have their guy Kamara. Jameis ain't right. You know, I think when they get them, they're a different team and they get scarier.
They're still my Yom Kippur team. I don't know. Maybe I'll change it. Maybe there's another Jewish. Maybe on like the third day of Hanukkah, I'll wish for my Saints to win the NFC South.
But yeah, Kamara's another one. He's not going to hit whatever his preseason total was supposed to be.
All right, listen, let's take another quick break and much to my chagrin, talk Major League Baseball when we return. All right, my Mets. Yeah, here's why this is going to suck. They lost 3 to the Braves over the weekend. So now they have to sweep 3 against the Nationals. It rained out yesterday. They have a doubleheader today. And the Braves have to lose 3 to the Marlins. They already lost. Come on, Mattingly. Come on, Donnie Baseball. Do this. They have to lose 3. Except here's what's going to happen. And I know this. The Braves are going to lose the first 2, maybe even on purpose. The Mets are going to win the first 2. And the Mets Wednesday, tomorrow, are going to have to start DeGrom, which is going to screw up their whole wild card rotation. I just know this is going to happen, Sheck. And worse yet, Martin, as if we didn't have it tough enough over the last few days, Elton John takes a shot at them. Play this for it, Mikey Meatballs.
And something that makes me very happy tonight, the Braves swept.
What is that, Jack? Shut it off. Well, first of all, so he's a Braves fan? You're 93 years old. We're finding out now that you're a Braves fan because you have a house in Atlanta. And I think that, where was that? Was that in Babyface? Where was that concert? In Nashville or something?
It was in Nashville, pal.
There he goes, breaking my heart. Don't start with this
goodbye,
now.
Goodbye, Lee Mazzilli. Listen, I feel sad for you, but maybe let me try to provide a little optimism. Is this, assuming that nightmare scenario that you just laid out that is absolutely plausible, doesn't go down, is it maybe in a way that this newfangled thing will reveal that it's not good to sit down when you're a hot baseball team to sit down for, I mean, how many games are the teams that get the bye here now resting up while the other teams are playing?
Well, we'll see.
Ball game.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because every team playing this wild card round has all the games are home for the higher seed. Right. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think Tuesday would start. Right. So, they're getting like a 6-day break for, which in baseball for the pitchers, it doesn't really matter. Right.
Because I know, but the rhythm matters, right? Doesn't it? Like you go a whole season without, I mean, you go 6 months of your life without more than a day off, save the All-Star break, and the relevant guys are playing in that game too. So I don't know. Maybe this will prove to be like, that's the inherent flaw.
Why don't we ask Elton John? We should ask Elton John. He's all of a sudden a baseball expert. What do I do, Martin? He's one of my favorites, Elton John. And now he goes and does this. Who the hell knew he was a Braves fan?
And who knew that there are that many Braves fans in Nashville? Like, that's a surprise to me. Like, I mean, I guess it's a short drive, but I just didn't know how.
Yeah, did you look at your concert? Did you look at the concert tour? Are you not going to New York ever again? Like, was this a smart move anyway? He has to mention that.
So you like Elton John music. I was curious, like, what would be the worst? Would it be John Oliver? Would he be the worst person to do something like this? And you'd be like, are you this guy on top of everything else? This guy still?
No.
Huey Lewis celebrating the Braves over the Metropolitans would hurt Sal's feelings the most. That or
right,
Romo.
I think so. Yeah, well, you know what?
When an ex-player
does it, like if Mike Piazza started rooting for the Braves, that would suck more than any, right? Like pop star or anything like that. That's what gets me mad, right, Chuck? Like when Boston fans saw Brady with the Yankee hat. There's no coming back from that, right?
Right. Yeah, I guess like Billy Joel. Right, that would bad. He's a Metropolitans guy.
Oh, he's such a New York. Right, they play Piano Man seventh inning stretch there. Yeah. All right, and Aaron Judge home run. Also, Babyface, you're keeping special. You're keeping track of this, I think, because you're winning this. Did you predict 61 exactly for Judge?
Well, because Eddie took 62, I am now on 61. But now, yes, if there's money involved, then I'm definitely keeping track of it.
What are the others? Who else? I know I'm way out. I think I said 55. When did we do this? We did this in July or August?
We did this late July. I think I have the date here. But yeah, Mikey's still alive. Eddie's still alive. And until he hits 62, I'm still alive.
Meatballs at 64. Sheck, you had 60. What did you have? I don't think you went above 60.
I didn't. I thought I had 62. Are we sure Spaghetti got 62?
I don't know. Joel's supposed to be keeping track of this.
We did. We taped this on July 25th. Sal has 57. Yeah. Martin has 59. Dave, you took 60. I've got 61. Eddie's got 62. Meatballs, 64.
That sounds right.
I thought I was in it. Dang it.
Dang, Dave, wrong again.
I got news for congratulations, Babyface. You're going to win. He's done at 61. Right now on Caesars, minus 210 for him to break the record. He has a doubleheader today, plus 170 on the no. I have plus 450 on the no. I'm a real jerk with these Yankees. And I also bet that he wouldn't win the Triple Crown, which he's now 4 points behind the guy who's leading, that Arias. He just doesn't play. He's like, screw it, I'm done. I'm 315. I'm 4 points above Judge, and that's the last you're going to see of me in 2022. I love it. Yankee fans are.
Are you
really
bothered?
But anyway,
I'm interested as a Metropolitans guy specifically, but more broadly. Listen, I love belly aching. Why are so many people bent out of shape about the Aaron Judge home run split screen watch? Hey, you know what I like? I like watching TV, and I like watching sports, and I like being in a bar that has more than one TV, and when they have multiple games on. What are we complaining about? That's happening in my house now. They're splitting the screen. They're showing me two sports at one time. Yeah. It's not like they're going away from the game that I'm watching. They're showing me a bit of history. What the hell?
You're exactly right. It's not the Heidi Bowl where you missed the ending of your favorite team game, right? You're still seeing it, and then you're seeing some pitches. You're going to see a walk or an intentional walk along with it. So
I think it was overblown.
That doesn't bother me.
But I would say, I have three screens in my living room. I was already watching. So I didn't need to cut in.
You had it already.
What I was already watching. So now I have quadruple split screens on my two screens in my living room. So now I can't see anything at all. And they take the baseball sound full. Like, I want to hear the football game that I'm watching. Unless he hits the homer, then let's hear that call. But I don't need to hear low and outside. Ball one.
He's not breaking it. Maybe he'll break it by the time anyone listens to this. I'm predicting he does not break it, and the Maris family used all their vacation time at work for nothing. What a waste. Ty at 61. It's going to be great. It'll be great when he breaks it with the Red Sox next year. That's what's going to be the best, right?
I figured out Sal's entire betting strategy at this point.
Yeah.
I followed it at some point. It's helped me out. You just root against good things. Like, you bet against good things.
Yeah.
You bet against bet against fun. You bet against, like, it's the no pass line. You know what? Green money is green money, brother.
There you go. And there's so much heartache in sports. How much heartache is there in sports? You got to capitalize on it every now and then. All right. Play of the day. Martin, hit us with your best baseball bet. This is the last time we'll have to do this in the regular season. Thank God.
Thank God. All right. I'm going to go ahead with Julio Urias under 5.5 strikeouts. He has gone under this number in 4 of his last 5 starts. Actually, no, let me do that math right. Yeah, it's 5 of his last 6 starts he's gone under this number. Hasn't had over 5 strikeouts except for September 17th since August. So I'm going to go ahead. I like that. The Dodgers, I have no other reason besides that. It's football season. That's my reason why I'm taking Julio Urias under 5.5 strikeouts. That's why.
All right. I'm with you. By the way, so not enough is made of this Dodgers team. 110 wins and counting, right? And 216 wins in the last 2 years. That's astounding. It's ridiculous. Only like 2 other teams have done that. That said, this is an October game and a meaningless game in October, and you could get three times your money on the Rockies. Now, I know the guy they're putting out there has a 6 ERA. Urias is great. I think they could take him out. He could go four innings, Martin, right? Why stretch this guy? Rockies win 5-4. Pay me three times, 3-1 on an October 4th game. That's not even tangentially has any meaning. There you go. That's my pick. Check.
That makes all the sense in the world, but it's meaningless. So who knows what the motivation is for anyone out there. I can't divine that part. I like your boy Taiwan Walker today, but the juice ain't there to make it worthwhile. I'm going with Aaron Judge. It's history. Plus 210 to hit a home run. Let's see him do it.
Which one is this?
For.
Hold on. They have a doubleheader. Which one which game? You didn't even speculate. I think you have to say which one, right?
The first game. The first game of the doubleheader.
All right. What time does that start?
Yard. It starts in 8 minutes.
Will we get that one in enough time?
It starts in 8 minutes. Pick the second game. Do the second one. He's not sitting.
All right. Can I switch to Walker in the Metropolitans?
How the turntables turn. How the
should
turn
do that. Go ahead.
Turn.
Do the Mets. Do the Mets. Minus
go
one
ahead.
And a half.
Go ahead, Dave. What? Switch your pick.
Listen, we're rooting for the Mets. We're rooting for the Rockies. We're rooting for right under four.
We're rooting for the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's what we're rooting for. It's hockey season. It. If the football season's over with in Pittsburgh, there's only one other thing we can turn to. That's the Pittsburgh Penguins hockey season.
It's also Mr. Lister season. Boy, I listened back. I was traveling a lot this week, and I listened probably 3 days after it happened. That was an amazing round. Did you think that maybe one of them was cheating? It was Nick Costas, and it was John Jastrzemski, and they went back and forth in two categories. It was just phenomenal. One was opening day starters for the Mets and Yankees since 1990, I believe. And I think they got like 56 out of 60 or something insane.
It was.
And then the other was starting
real,
lineup. For the Patriots Giants Super Bowl team, 2010, right?
And that was, I think that was the almost undefeated Patriots team that we did.
Oh, my
Super
God.
Bowl 42. The fact that they both were getting guys from the Patriots offensive line from 15 years ago is crazy. Uh-huh. I'm with you, though. And Mr. Lister is, of course, on Spotify Live, our live sports game show that is list-based where you pick items off of the category I presented. So I'll just explain there. Good one tonight for you, too. Chris Trapasso from Buffalo and CBS versus Brad Spielberger from PFF in Chicago. Good showdown.
Nice.
NFL draft-based showdown there. But, yes, those two guys, those two New Yorkie guys, going back and forth, like John Jastrzemski, I was sloppy with that. I got sloppy with some of the secondary. With it, it was really funny and delightful and
very nice. Very
and
nice.
Great
good job there. Yeah, he has a little mad dog. Very nice. He was like compliment.
Very nice, Nicky.
Very nice. Wow, good pull. Good pull. Martin Lemon Pepper Parlay, boy, you have bragging rights over Will Blackman. I don't know if he's going to, reward you a case of wine or what, but 70% through the first month of this nonsensical season is something to hang one of your many hats on.
Yeah, it's nonsensical to everybody else. It's making perfect sense to me right now.
All right. Good. Good job. Against all odds tonight, listen there, waiver wired coming up. Oh, Piacenti and Eddie Spaghetti making fun of sports. Covered in glory later in the week. That's going to do it for another episode of Extra Points. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.